Hello, my name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I want to welcome you to our Friday School of the Prophets. And today, you're going to be listening to the minister, Bruce Ford, associate minister at Bethlehem Baptist Church, where I serve as senior pastor. And before we get into the word today, we want you to just welcome you, those who are listening to our MySpace page, those who are listening to our podcast, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem. You may be listening from our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and at is spelled out A-T. You may be listening on a CD from whatever venue you're joining us today. We believe that God has a word for you. And again, our speaker for this moment is Reverend Bruce Ford, associate minister of Bethlehem Baptist Church, and you can get to his page at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and click the tab that says Ford. You want to hear more messages by him. Now,
Father God,
let's
I come
get
before you
into
as humbly as I know how, Father, and I lay myself before you. For Father God, you told me to be ready in season and out of season. Father God, you called me to preach. And Father, I come this evening in obedience to your word and to your will. So Father God, I ask, Father God, that you would just have your way. I pray for an outpouring on your spirit, Father God, that some hurting soul may hear as you speak to them today. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would speak to me and speak through me, that we, your people, might be edified and that your name might be glorified. Father, we thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you are doing. And we thank you, Father, for what you are about to do. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Giving honor to God once again because he's worthy. Yeah. Our text tonight is going to be from Hebrews, the 13th chapter. All right. This is a marriage conference. Yeah. Yeah. And so therefore, I want to speak a little something about marriage.
All right.
Our verse is found in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, beginning the verses, the 4th and the 5th verse. The word of God says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In giving a title to this text, I would say that marriage is honorable. And I want to say that not based on anything that I know, but based on the word of God. Because God has said that marriage is honorable. Because in God's word, he says, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife.
Yes, yes.
And so therefore, God is saying to us that marriage is a key.
All right.
Marriage is something very important.
Yes.
Because you know, God, in the beginning, God created Adam. And God said, after he had created Adam, and I can't tell you how many days it was, but God, because he's all-knowing, and because he's all-seeing, said that it's not good for man to be alone. So our God laid Adam down, and he put Adam to sleep. And what he did is he took a rib out of Adam's side. And the word says that he created woman.
All right.
And he put them together in the garden. And God gave man dominion over everything. Over everything now. And the woman was to be the man's helpmeet. And getting back to our text, it says that marriage is honorable among all. And the bed undefiled. But fornicators and the adulterers, God will judge. Let's deal with fornicators first. We know that fornication is sex outside of marriage. There is nowhere in Scripture that God gives us the right to go and have our way with whomever we choose to have our way with. What God says to us is that we are to leave our father and our mother and cleave unto our wives. And so therefore, fornication is against God. And the word says that God will judge. You know, so fornication is really our first point. We want to deal with fornication. The world says that it's your thing. Do what you want to do. The world has us focusing on men and women to do whatever we please with. And when you get tired of them, you move on to somebody else. And there are those of us who spent that time in our lives where we dated this girl. And if she didn't put out, we were through with her. And we'd go and we'd find somebody that would put out. And we'd stay with her until somebody else came along. We were fornicating. God will judge. Now let's look at adulterers. And just so you know, adultery is sex with somebody other than your spouse. And in case you didn't know, the Word of God says that God will judge. Adultery was given by Moses. Because the people pressed him for it. And we know how we are as a people. You know, when we want something, we won't quit until we get it. So I can understand Moses saying, well, okay, yeah, you can divorce him. You can divorce him. Because he was probably sick and tired of the people running up in his face. But God, nowhere in his word, says that we are to divorce. Because, you know, we talk about love. You know, I married her because I loved her. The love that we talk about is eros. That sexual or lustful love. But that ain't the kind of love that God would have us to have for our wives. Because Jesus loved the church. So therefore, the Word of God tells us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Christ was patient with the church. Christ was forgiving with the church. Christ laid down his life for the church. Christ left glory for the church. And so therefore, adultery is against God's will. The Bible says that marriage is honorable. But the bed is to be undefiled. Your bed is for your wife. And if you're not married, You need to wait on that wife that God has for you. Because God has somebody for you. And if you're not seeing them today, then you need to begin to pray. Because the God that we have is the God that we serve is the God that will provide what you need. The Word of God says, commit your way unto the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Are you desiring a wife today? Then commit your ways unto the Lord. Yes, she may look good. She may talk good. But if you don't ask God for a wife, you're setting yourself up for heartache and pain. You know, I started dating my first wife at the age of, I was probably 16, 15, somewhere in there. We started dating. And I fell in love with her. I ain't gonna lie to you. I love that woman. I love that woman. And the thing of it was, I would have done anything for her. But you know, I grew up in an environment where it was, you'd be abusive. You know, I watched the men be abusive. And we was crazy about each other. But there was something, and I'm not talking about her, but there was something about her that I wasn't the only one that she wanted. She wanted all she could get. And so we dated for years. We had kids outside of marriage. These are consequences of going against God's will. All right. You know, and I don't say my kids are a mistake, because I love the kids that she blessed me with. I love very much. And I consider them a blessing from God. But you know, I finally married that woman in 84. And I said, well, like, you know, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. But if I turned my head, she was trying to be with somebody else. But yet and still, because I married her, I chose to be patient with her. And it got to a point where it was happening a little too regular. So I started getting mad, and I started to, and I, you know, the only way you can be helped is you have to be open about who you are and where you were at that time. And I was abusive. I don't encourage no man to put his hand on no woman, because that's not of God. That's not love. Irregardless of what she does or says to you, keep your hands to yourself. But I do want to say this. You know, this woman, in one sense she loved me, in another sense she couldn't stand me. But you know, it got to a point, because my older kids were grown, and one evening, me and my youngest boy, I just come in from work, me and my youngest boy sitting there watching TV, and her cousin, this guy shows up, and he's her cousin, had his friend with her. So she tells me, I'm going to the store. You know, 7 o'clock came, she wasn't back. 9 o'clock came, she wasn't back. 1 o'clock in the morning came, she wasn't back. I went to bed, got up the next morning, she still wasn't back. 3 weeks later, I found out where she was. And that was all because I went outside God's will. I wanted what I wanted. I didn't wait on God. I waited on my flesh. And so therefore, I had to go through some things. You know, the lady and I, we're good friends. She's the mother of my children. I don't hate her. I thank God for her, because there were some things that we went through to help me be better. There were some things that we went through to help me see myself for who I was. But you know, getting back to our text, you know, the Word of God says, let your conduct be without covetousness. We don't need to desire anything outside of God's will. God is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. And everything that we need, he will supply. And you know, even when we're obedient to God, when we're being and doing what God wants us to be, there are some monks that he will also throw in there. But you know, we can't get where God wants us to be when we're looking around at everything around us. All that glitters ain't gold. You know, and just because it looks good, don't mean it's good. You know, if my mother, I want to use this example. My mother could cook. Best cook in the world. You know, and if you don't say that about your mother, something's wrong with you. But like, my mother could cook liver. She could fry some liver and onions. And the house would smell good. And if you didn't go in there and look in that skillet, you think she was having a good meal.
Well,
now, I'm not a liver eater. But, you know, she could make it smell good.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when I'd go in there and I'd look, it'd be like, oh, man, liver. That's the way it is when we're looking outside of where God wants us to be. God wants us to keep our eyes on what he has given us. You know, it's another thing that I want to deal with today, thank you, Jesus, is that in your marriage, not everything is going to go all right.
Well,
you're going to have some good times.
Yes.
You're going to have some bad times.
Yes.
But you know, Paul talked about he who endures to the end would receive a prize. You know, scripture says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And so we have to be willing, men, to let some things go in order to be the man God has called us to be. And I want to put a pin right here, because the word of God tells us we ought to love our wives like Christ loves the church. And what that means is that no matter what she says, when she's going off on us, no matter how she acts, we ought to continually love her. We ought to be patient with her. We ought to be kind to her. We're not to get easily provoked. We're not always to seek our own. So brothers, we have to love. It's not something that we do if we want to.
Well,
and no, I don't know what your wife said to you.
Well,
but you know what? It doesn't matter.
Yes, yes, yes.
God has called you to love her anyway.
Yes, 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 yes,
yes. Yeah. She may not look like she did when you first started dating her. But God has told you to love her anyway.
Well,
she may not even want to cook you dinner.
Like she used to.
But you better love her anyway.
Well,
you know, it may be nights and she's telling you she's got a headache.
Ooh, now you really better preach.
But you got to love her anyway.
Well,
and the way we love our wives is we go out of our way to please them.
Well,
and I've heard it said that whatever it took to get her,
well,
you got to do that same thing to keep her. And so, brothers, love your wives like Christ loved the church.
Yes.
Now, I'm probably going to get run up out of here.
All right.
But sisters, you've got something that you've got to do. Because the word tells you to submit unto your husband. And no, the word doesn't mean that you're his slave.
Well,
but that means that you got to respect that man.
Yes.
Irregardless of how he's acting.
Yes.
You got to respect that man.
Yes.
Even when he's not paying attention to you, you got to respect that man. Even when He didn't come home on time. You got to respect that man. Even when he spends more time in the TV, you got to respect that man. Even when his friends are called and he'll jump and he'll run, you got to respect that man. You got to charge to keep. And you got a God to glorify. And God is not going to, when you stand before God, God is not going to say, well, why didn't you do this? And you'd be able to stand up there and say, well, God, he didn't do what he was supposed to do. He didn't communicate with me. He didn't love me. God's going to say, what did you do? Did you respect him? Men, did you love her? We've got a call to be obedient to God's word. The word says that marriage is honorable. And the bed under fire. And the only way that marriage is going to stay honorable is that each one of us in our marriages work as hard as we can to be the best that we can in our marriage. But you know what? A marriage is not going to work if you don't pray together. If you don't spend some time on your knees before God praying for your husband, it's not going to work. If you don't spend some time praying for your wives, it's not going to work. If you don't spend some time together in God's word, it's not going to work. You are one. You're not two. And my sister, I want to say this to you before I go any further. If you got problems with your husband and you going over here to Sally, who is divorced, and you telling her all your business about what's going on in your household, and you getting advice from somebody that don't even have a husband, that don't make no sense. And brothers, when you go over here to Joe Blow and you talking about your wife, you talking about yourself. You talking about Jesus. Because you two are one. You're not two people. You're one. The Bible says that you're one. Because it says what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. So I want to encourage us today to be obedient to God's word. Not to our flesh. Not to our fleshly desires. Not to what somebody else says, Dr. Ruth or Dr. Phil. But you do what God's word says. And God's word has told us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Sisters, we ought to respect our husband. And I want to take that a little bit further. Men, you ought to love your wives and respect your wives. Sisters, you ought to love your husband and respect your husband. And if you think I'm lying, the word of God says to love one another. He wasn't just talking to husbands. In the book of John, he's talking about all of us. Love one another. If you're Christian, you got to love your wife. It doesn't matter what she said. It don't matter what she did. You've got to love them. Marriage is honorable. In the bed under fire. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. What business do you have looking across the fence? And what this man has when God has given you something better. Now, when you first got her, you thought she was all that in a bag of chips. So what's wrong with the bag of chips you got? But you know what? When you first got her, she was salty. And so what you need to do? You need to get you some water and eat that salty chip. Because that's your chip. That ain't nobody else's chip. That's a chip that you ask God for, and that's a chip that's going to be yours. Because when God is joined together, let that man put asunder. Church, tonight, as I bring this to a close, I want to encourage us to do what God says. And what God is saying is that marriage is very important to him. We are the bride of Christ. And you know, we don't do everything that Jesus wants us to do. We don't act the way he wants us to act. We don't live the way he wants us to live. And while I'm here, we don't give the way he wants us to give. We don't love the way he wants us to love. But do you see him running to the courthouse to say, I want a divorce? What God is doing and what God is saying, what Jesus is saying, rather, is that I love you. In spite of all your warts, in spite of all them pimples, in spite of the fact that you gained 40 pounds, in spite of the fact that I can't eat them abs that turned to slab, I still love you. So as I close tonight, I want you to know and to realize that marriage is honorable, and it's God-given gift to us. And so if you're having trouble in your marriage today, I want to encourage you to work on it. What are you doing to make your marriage work? When's the last time you gave her flowers? When's the last time you cooked his favorite meal? When is the last time you brought her a card? When is the last time you had his bath while it ran? When is the last time you said, honey, let's go for a walk? It won't work if you don't work it. Marriage is important to God. And if anybody ought to be working their marriages, it ought to be us as Christians. We ought to be about the Father's business, because God has told us what we ought to do. We ought to love and respect, because marriage is honorable.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. We want to thank you for listening today. And before we sign off, we always want to have an opportunity to share the love. Share the love is the outreach campaign that we're doing at the Bethlehem Baptist Church, where we want to share Christ with 500 people. We want to add from that 550 people to our church body, and we want to baptize 75 new believers. And you may be an answer to our prayer as you come to terms with God's love. You see, in order to come to terms with God's love or be in right relationship with God, first of all, you have to know that you are a sinner. I mean, we're all sinners, for the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including myself, Minister Ford, or anyone else you think that is holy. We've all sinned. And God's penalty for sin is death. That's the bad news. For the wages of sin is death. But the good news is the last part of Romans 6:23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God has a great love for us, so much so that he made provision for our salvation from sin. And his provision is his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. For Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. You see, God is not waiting for you to clean up your life. Not waiting for you to stop smoking, stop drinking, or whatever it is that you think that separates you from God. The only thing God is waiting for you to do is to confess But Romans 10, 9, and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So all you have to do to make peace or get right with God is pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you died and raised again, and was raised again for cost and price of the penalty of my sins. Dear Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life as my Lord and Savior. If you can pray that simple prayer and believe it, and if you prayed that simple prayer for the first time, or willing to pray that prayer for the first time, then today you are or can be saved. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we'd love to see you in the service at Bethlehem at 311 North Dunbar in Pauls Valley, Oklahoma, only 55 miles south on 35, exit 72. We'd love to see you in the service. If you're somewhere listening in Malaysia, Japan, South Africa, United Kingdom, then we're praying that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. Now, let me give you our benediction. And again, if you were encouraged through this message, I want to encourage you to visit Reverend Bruce Ford's webpage at www.BethlehemBaptistChurch, or hear God's word at BethlehemBaptistChurch.com and click forward, the tab that says forward. He has some more messages that are waiting for you. So let me give this prayer a benediction. Father, we thank you. We praise your holy name, Father. We pray that you will accept those who have accepted you, deliver them to a church home, put your hedge of protection around them, and all of us at the sound of my voice. Keep us until we meet again, either in the service or in cyber church. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord. Showing the sun, and Lord, we faltered in our ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord. Speak, Lord.